So last night we tried to set the stage for the week in terms of what Brother Bryce, Brother Jacob, and I are going to try to fit together in a theme, and that is to be a better servant. And as we noted last night, that can be a pretty broad category. One reason why is because that is something we all share in common, in that we're all servants and we all have the same duties. I mean, we've got duties to God, we've got duties to one another, duties to our community, our neighbor as ourselves. And although that's a broad topic, we hope over the week to address that in some manner or another, and you're going to get a couple of different takes and different ways on how that can be done. And last night, we talked about being a better teammate, or how to be a team, a collection of helpers, being a better helper. And I didn't realize it until just a minute ago, but I had a couple of assists from my favorite in-laws on both topics. See, yesterday, after lunch, we played a couple of board games or games, and the way we paired up, my mother-in-law and I, we were on the same team, and we did win Trivia Pursuit, and I hope Brother Keith didn't take it too personally as a loss on his side. But then I just got another assist from my father-in-law in that the song he led to the work. And that is more or less what I want to talk about tonight in terms of being a better servant, which is not just about being a worker, how to be a better worker, but how to try to strive for excellence and to be an excellent worker. And that is something interesting in this, as all things probably tend to do as you put together a lesson or a study, evolved over time. And I want to start with one passage spoken by Jesus, and he talks about a straight gate in different accounts of the Gospels, but I want to look at the way it's written in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 24, we're familiar with this concept and with the passage, but I want to look deeper at some of the words that are used here in Luke chapter 13, verse 24, that are spoken by Jesus. In Luke chapter 13, verse 24, Jesus says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Now, the focus of tonight isn't about that gate. That is an important topic, an important study. But I kind of honed in on a couple of words here. One being strive. This is, if we read different accounts of this, you won't see strive used here. And I believe this is the only time we see Jesus use the word strive, at least by this translation, King James Version. Strive is not just to try hard. Strive is not just that, but if we look at the original Greek word, there's a couple of different ways it can go, but all in the same direction. So the most general use of the word strive, if we go back to the original Greek of it, and I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek of it, is to struggle, or to labor fervently. And that sounds a lot like the song we just heard a short moment ago. But when we break it down further, strive, the original word, also means to literally compete for a prize. And figuratively, to contend with an adversary. So strive is actually a pretty active word. Strive has a lot of meaning. It sounds like it comes with a lot of struggle, a lot of work. And this is a contrast to the other word that I want to focus in on briefly, which is seek. Strive and seek are not used interchangeably here. Strive and seek are considered two different things in this passage. Seek is probably better defined as to desire, maybe to look for. But what Jesus is saying here is fight to enter in at the straight gate. Contend, struggle, work extra hard to enter in at the straight gate. Many will desire to enter in, but should not be able to, or will not be able to. So that is what I want to focus on, is striving. in striving in our endeavors, striving as workers, striving as servants, in striving to just be better at all things we do. Because strive is a special tense. It's a special thing here. So one of those definitions meant, of course, you're competing with someone. You're contending with an adversary. That was the figurative definition if you go back to the original Greek word. So what or whom are we competing with? I think there's a couple of things we might compete with. One, we could say our adversary, the devil. That one we're familiar with. But tonight I want to look at it as in maybe an adversary that seems to trip us up as many as anything else, which is ourselves. Struggling with ourselves, contending with ourselves in this battle or in this effort, in this work. So as servants, we know that with anything we do, any sort of behavior that we want to start doing, we want to start this habit or we want to stop this habit. I want to stop eating this. I want to stop smoking. I want to begin exercising. Whatever habit, whatever set of behaviors we're talking about, those are most effective if you have a motivation. If you actually want to do those things, you have a much better chance at accomplishing them. So it starts with motivation. It starts with a desire to strive. And now I want to ask a question. And I came about this question in an odd way. But what makes humans unique from the other animals? I'm sure there's a lot of answers out there. We might think, well, these thumbs are awfully special. Another answer, which would be a good one, would be the soul. We have a soul, whereas our cats and dogs, you know, don't in that same manner. But one thing that makes our soul special, not just that we have one, but what makes us different from the other living, breathing creatures on the world is that we can actually strive for excellence. All the other animals strive maybe to survive. Everything is going to be centered around meeting some biological need. All of you have either had a dog or a cat, fish, cows, goats, chickens, E-I-E-I-O. And you notice that everything's driven by some biological desire or need. What it takes to eat, what it takes to sleep, and all those processes. It is only humans where we can actually go beyond survival, which is, I want to work on this thing for the pure aspect of getting better at it, for gaining more knowledge about it. Nothing that actually furthers my biological needs, but that I'm interested in it. And think about what we might consider world-class athletes, for instance. A lot of us in this area, of course, like football, baseball, a variety of other sports. But you can even make this about knowledge. There's a lot of people who know a lot of things about a variety of topics. But, you know, they have reached a certain level, the world-class athletes, where they have gone far beyond meeting some biological need. Now they're spending a lot of time and effort so they can run faster, lift more, learn more, know more, all for the sake of just being better at that, for the sake of knowing more. And that's unique to humans, that ability to strive for excellence even when it's gone beyond just fulfilling some biological need. So that makes us special, and we go over and beyond doing just enough. Because that's what the animals have. They have the ability to do just enough to survive. But we're special in that we can do much more than enough. We can be excellent all because we desire to be excellent. Because we strive to be excellent. So unfortunately, though, as a society, you've probably noted that work ethic, getting to work, working hard, is becoming a farther and fewer between kind of skill desire to see. One of the most common things you've probably heard over these past couple of years is no one wants to work. There's work out there to do. There's money out there to earn. There's goods and services to deliver, but it's harder and harder to find people to work. I know well after things kind of opened back up after COVID, and we were returning to normal, that there would be a lot of stores or restaurants you'd go to, and they couldn't be open. And it wasn't because, oh, everyone's out due to COVID. It's we don't have enough workers. But people still need money. People still need things, but there's less and less of a desire to work because it's not fun. It's not comfortable. It's just not what I want to do. And there's really nothing that gets in the way of us in doing that work other than our own laziness. Now, we can't let that happen to our Christianity. But unfortunately, losing work ethic is a thing we've seen, and it's really affected a lot. Now, one of the reasons why this became a topic of interest to me was I'd been listening to a podcast, completely irrelevant, had nothing to do with the Bible. It was about powerlifting. But this guy was talking about, I was going to do this walking on coals, hot coals thing. It was just some sort of leadership retreat they had gone off to. And he said they all started preparing us for it. We spent an hour talking about visualize this, meditate on that, do this breathing exercise. And he was getting tired and annoyed and said, why can't we just go do this? Why can't we just knock it out? And these camp counselors, whatever it might have been, said, what do you do for a living? He said, I used to be a power lifter. Now I own a gym and coach other powerlifters. I said, okay, you're used to facing something that's going to hurt, right? Yeah, all the time. The rest of these people have lived a life where they've not done that. And I thought, that probably describes a lot of us. Or at least a lot of recent times. Where how often do we willingly, voluntarily go through something hard for the sake of getting better at it? Because think about all the skills as Christians that we can learn. The amount of knowledge we can gain from God's Word doesn't come instantly. It comes with work. It comes with time. It comes with effort. And when you start to add all that up, it sounds like, I think I'd rather watch TV. That's the mindset that we're running into today. But that's not the mindset that we can have as good servants of God. That is not striving. I'm not sure that's even seeking. But our duty is to strive, to fight, to contend, so that we can be excellent. So that we can face those hard times and go through those difficulties, not just because we want to learn about this topic, but because we desire this topic. We desire this knowledge. We desire the skills, some of which we might have talked about yesterday, of visiting people, helping people, bettering myself in terms of, hey, patience, things like that. So one of our problems that we run into with this today of striving, desiring to work harder at being a better Christian, at being a better servant, is we have this lack of motivation. We have this lack of motivation to be better as a Christian. And we hate the effort that it might take to be better at it. But that's where we're supposed to be more than. Again, as humans, that's what makes us unique, that God gave us the soul and the capability to go through hard times so we can pick up these additional skills, so that we can learn more about His Word. So this is true not just of some earthly skill. Again, think about the people who can run faster than the rest of us. They worked hard at it, and it was uncomfortable, and now they're faster than us. That's true of our Christianity as well. So, not trying to compare humans to animals, but look at the way David the psalmist describes the kind of the baseline or the basicness that the animals have. This is contrasting the ability to strive for excellence versus the ability to just be, just coast by. Psalms 32. And I won't read but one verse. In Psalms 32, go to verse 9, the psalmist David here mentions what an animal does, or how difficult an animal can be. Psalms 32, verse 9, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." Bit and bridle, sorry. In other words, the horse and the mule, and it doesn't have to be just these animals, but these animals, they won't follow a direction unless they're directed to. Now, as Christians, as servants of God, as workers, is that the worker mindset we need to have? Me as a Christian, he won't do what he's supposed to unless someone grabs him and forces him to do it. That's, I'm guessing, not what God wants of us, not as servants. And that's certainly not striving. So that is not how we're supposed to be. Do we come to services because we feel forced to? Do we pray because we feel forced to? Or because it's habit? Go through the motions. Those things we don't want to become autopilot, or things we have to be led by the bit to. So let's contrast that and look at a couple of passages, and I will not be surprised if Brother Bryce or Brother Jacob also come across some of these passages. So hopefully the way I'm looking at them is, you know, slightly different. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We talked about having to be forced to do something. Now I want to talk about striving for something. Striving beyond, I'm just coasting by, or striving beyond, I'll do just enough. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start with verse 16. "For which cause," he's talking about being moved by faith, hope, and desire for God's glory, "for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So contrast that to what we read before from Psalms. The animals will just coast by. When it gets tough, they're going to give in to whatever the biological needs are. But our inward man must stay renewed. How do we get by that point of, I'm tired or I don't want to do that? Verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So he's putting things in perspective now. He calls it light, but I think that's really interesting that Paul calls it that way, because at this point, Paul will have had his life be threatened. He will have attempts made on his life. And he calls that a light affliction. He said, having gone through that, I will consider that light. Because he's thinking beyond, he's thinking of something else. Verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal." So, in my opinion there, he is giving this mindset of striving. He's giving this mindset of, yes, it can be hard, it can be tough, but this is where we have to separate ourselves, in that we are renewed, and we understand that this is but a temporal thing, this is light, may not feel light to everyone, and that's where the more we work at it, the lighter it begins to feel. So a desire for excellence, to be better, is the difference between I have to do this, I'm forced to do this, and a better mindset, which is I get to do this. Now I wonder, and I'll step on my own toes, have I ever really looked at the skills, the knowledge that we can gain as Christians from God's Word, from trying to serve God, from trying to serve our fellow human being? Do we look at it as what we have to do or what we get to do? Those are two very different mindsets. Paul here seems to be talking about a mindset of get to, striving. So, how do we get to that attitude that he has? In verse 17, being able to call it a light affliction, being able to look at it in that perspective. So what he does here is something that I think you've probably noticed. Think about the people in your life, and if you had to group people into two buckets, let's say you had to group the complainers in one bucket and the non-complainers in another bucket. Now, the complainers probably make a bigger bucket than the non-complainers. And a lot of times I'll find myself in the complainer bucket. But one interesting thing is the people who seem to complain the least, by my experience, have gone through the most. They seem to have suffered more or gone through harder times and have less to complain about, at least in front of me, than those who have been through far less. Why is that? Well, how do you get better at anything? Let's go back to that example of moving weight, heavy things. How do you get better at moving a heavy thing? You lift heavy things. And as you get better at moving heavier things, or as you start to move even heavier and heavier things, what once felt heavy starts to feel a little bit lighter. It's not that it got any lighter, it's still the same weight. It's that you better equipped yourself over that work, over that time, for it to start feeling like it was light. And that seems to be what Paul has gone through here in 2 Corinthians. So, to be a better servant, we have to want to be one. Not just want, but that we have to strive, to contend, to struggle to be one. And that's where it doesn't sound fun. It's the amount of struggle it will take to go through to be that. So in what ways or what areas do we need to be working on? Well, one is to see things through. Go to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians 3, he's talking to servants, the physical servants of the time. But we as servants need to take the same work ethic that he's about to talk about. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians 3, he's going to say things that you could also find very similar over in Ephesians 6, but let's read Colossians 3, starting with verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, your earthly masters, not with eye service as man-pleasers, not being led by the bit, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, not necessarily a fear of punishment from God, that could be one, but a fear that you're not doing it right, that you're not giving it your all, that you're not doing it properly, you're not striving. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Depending on whatever you've worked on, if you were doing something for someone else, how well you did it, particularly things like maybe fit and finish, would depend on how much they know about it. My group is getting a new driving simulator because we moved to another university, and so we get a new piece of equipment. At the old place, we didn't know what we were doing. We ordered this piece of equipment, it came in, and we didn't know any better. And we found out that, of course, the company knows they don't know what they're doing with this. So that company can take shortcuts. Because what difference do I know? Well, it's been nearly 10 years later. We're getting another one from the same company. They can't cut those corners this time because we know what it's supposed to look like. We know what it's supposed to be. And so we're holding them to a higher standard on these things. He says, do it as if God is watching, as if you're doing this work for God, not for some other person. Now, if God is watching you work on this piece in your garden, if God is watching you put this widget together, you're going to give it your all because you want it to look nice, for it's going to God, right? If it was going to someone who didn't know better or didn't care, I might cut corners. But that's not the kind of worker he's asking us to be. When he says, do it heartily, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ, means do it to completion. See the job through. Finish it. Don't leave it in the middle. And with your fit and finish, your polish, make it look good. Because guess who it's going to? Have high standards. That is another thing that seems to be lost by the wayside in today's society. It's not just work ethic, but kind of doing a good job and having high standards. And knowing that if it's not done right, you're going to come back and you're going to work on it until it's right. Do we do that with our Christian skills? Do I see it through to the end? And if I think, I've not got it right. I thought I had patience, but clearly I don't. Well, then I need to see it through and keep working on it until I get it right. We leave a lot of things unfinished and say, it's good enough. Does God want us to do good enough? I heard a saying out there. There was someone who had several employees, and he had a saying, and I picked it up a little bit. Someone would do something, and he's like, that's not how I asked you to do it. I say, I did my best. He would say, don't do your best, do my best. Does God ask for us to do our best? Because we might have different standards of best. God doesn't want that animalistic baseline of good enough. I'm doing whatever it takes because this is what I'm forced to work on. God wants, here's my best. Here's your best. Seeing it all the way through to completion until the job's done, until the job is done right. So when he says to do it heartily, do we put time devoted to God? Time it takes to complete the job. Time towards God. Whether we're talking about serving God or serving the community or working on ourselves. Do we see it through to completion? Again, we're never going to gain all the knowledge that is there in the Bible. But when we go to study on something, do we do good enough? I have been guilty enough of studying enough to put something together up here and do it. Well, that's good enough to get by for now. There's more I could learn about this, but I've already given that lesson. So move on to something else. I'm not seeing it through to completion when I do that. That's not heartily. That's not striving. That's just enough. Think about what repentance actually is. We talk about it a lot, and we know it's not just being forgiven of our sins, but repentance from the original word means to turn away from. Repentance is finishing the job. I have finished with that part of my life. I have finished with that sin, with that shortcoming. And if we haven't, we've not really repented, have we? So think of all the projects we have started, and I bet you they've started with good intentions. I told myself, I'm going to learn about this, or I'm going to learn to stop being so tempted by this. All these jobs that we've started have started with good intentions. We probably told ourselves, I'll get back to it. Years ago, it's bad now where most things round up to 20 for me. This is probably about 20 years ago. If you've been to my mother's house, in the front, she's got a bit of a hill and it keeps kind of eroding. Before she had the retaining wall she currently has, she had a wall of landscape timbers. One year she needed them replaced, and I think it was May, it was hot. So I was home for the month of May, I was between semesters. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll replace these. Big nails, sledgehammer. Well, there was one spot where I couldn't quite get the nails all the way through. There were three nails that were just kind of sticking up. One of them, I think, kind of bent in a little weird. Guess how long those nails stayed there like that? I don't remember how many years, she probably counted. But they stayed there for some years. I had every good intention to find a way to fix those three nails, and I never did. And finally, she just had that whole retaining wall done with actual rocks and cement. But me not finishing that job is the same as me not finishing some sin off in my life, me not finishing some topic I need to learn. I'm just leaving these nails hanging. What does that say about doing a job heartily, as if God's watching? If God had wanted a retaining wall, would I leave those three nails sticking up? I shouldn't. Now, that time I did. But lack of doing it heartily to completion, even though I had every good intention to finish it. And a lot of us, I bet, have half-finished projects. My favorite example is, if you've ever moved, there's been at least one box. One box that had kind of an odd assortment of things. And you said, I've just got to get this over here set, that room set. We just got to get through this week. And then I'm going to organize what's in that box. That box is probably still there in an attic or somewhere off to the side. I've got a few of them. But I had every good intention to organize that box. That box is a lot of good intended projects, skills, knowledge we wanted to work on as Christians. How many articles have I told myself I'm going to write? How many lessons have I told myself I'm going to put that together? They're still sitting in that box somewhere in the attic in my head. That's not doing it through to completion. That's not striving. And the obstacles there are just laziness on my own part. And you will not find laziness associated with striving. If you've got two people striving, the lazier one's going to lose. The other is all the distractions. We've got so much distracting us. I've gone on about that in other lessons. But things of this world are what distract us. That's what keeps us from striving. What striving is overcoming those obstacles. Overcoming that desire to sit back and relax. That desire to look at the distraction that looks more appealing right now. Because fun sounds like more fun than work. Striving is overcoming that desire to lay back. So we hate a struggle, we hate resistance. The other problem we do is we like to take shortcuts. It started to dawn on me how much in trouble we get with shortcuts. These temporary stopgap solutions that just get us through, because it seems like whatever that problem was will just keep popping up again. If you've got a burst pipe, putting duct tape around it will work for just so long. That's a temporary stopgap measure. We can't have those leaks in our life. A few years ago, or more like 10 years ago, I remember a few grad students, we were all finishing some project around the same time. And these documents require very special formatting, and it was kind of well known that was a nightmare part of the process. And there was a shortcut you could take, which is just get in the document, manipulate it, and eyeball it and hope it looks right. Then there was a permanent solution, which took a lot longer. Now, a few of them decided we're going to learn the shortcut, and a few of them decided we're going to take the long way around. What happened was, over the next several years, those people who took the shortcut had to keep taking the shortcut. The people who learned the permanent solution were done with it, because it was handled from the beginning. Striving is not taking shortcuts. Striving is taking the long way around, even though it is the long way around. It involves more effort, it involves more work, but think about what God actually wants of us. And He wants us to push through difficulty when it gets in our way. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. This is a passage in Philippians 3 that we probably can quote by heart. We've heard it many times. But it's about pushing through the difficulties. Proverbs 3, let's look at verse 12. Proverbs 3, verse 12, he writes, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect," in other words, "I work as if I've not achieved the goal, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before," meaning putting all of this effort towards one purpose, direct it all in that direction. Okay, he's talking about striving. 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Some translations of the word "toward" will say "by any means." Again, we're talking about striving, pushing through whatever gets in the way, pushing through with whatever resources I've got to pull together, pushing through with however long it takes me, however hard it takes me. No shortcuts, but pushing through. "I press toward the mark." Verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you, even this unto you." Those who would similarly want this goal have that same mindset of pushing through. If you don't have that mindset, but you have the desire, God can bring you to it. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." So again, if you've not reached this mindset of being willing to push through, make the right use of the ability and the knowledge that you do have. What he's saying is give it some effort. Try. Work at it. And one thing we do that gets in the way, I like to call it active procrastination. We have a thing we know we need to do. It involves effort, it involves work. And we make ourselves feel better by doing something, even if it's not the thing we need to be doing. You have probably had to study for something. I've heard this happen a lot around college kids. "I need to work on this. I've got this paper due tomorrow, so I decided to clean my whole bathroom tonight. It made me feel better because I got something done." It's weird. My mother wouldn't believe this, but I actually did do that a few times. I cleaned my entire bathroom when I had something due the next day or I needed to study for some big exam. It's like, well, you know what? That looks dirty. I'm going to clean that. It made me feel better because I was doing something. I was moving. I did effort. But it was wasted effort because I didn't come any closer to what I needed to be working on. whatever that was, probably organic chemistry. But we will do this and give us this false illusion that I'm accomplishing something, but are we working on what we need to work on? Am I pushing through the difficulties that are actually the obstacles? Am I just pushing through what seems like an easier obstacle? Those are very different things. Are we really striving? I think this is what he talks about in 2 Thessalonians. This will be the last passage we read. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Now, doesn't just mean what we might in modern times refer to as busybody as, well, this is a gossiper. They're just stirring trouble. It could also mean someone who is just busying themselves with irrelevant, useless matters. Is that us in our Christianity? Well, I'm moving around, I'm showing up here, but am I really doing the work? Am I really overcoming obstacles? Is that really pushing through, pushing toward, striving, struggling, contending? Or am I fooling myself and thinking I'm moving around, I'm doing motion? He says, he goes on in verse 12, "Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread," which is a fancy way of saying, just get to work and get it done. "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't get tired, such that you begin to think, I would rather take that lazy path." Be not weary in well-doing, in your striving. So he's talking about physical food, but what about, let's call it Christian food? Peace, patience, joy, meekness, temperance. We want those things. I don't think anyone in here would say those things that have been described as what Paul would say, the new man or a Christian. I don't want those qualities at all. I don't think any of us would say that. We would want those things. I'm guilty of saying I want more patience and I want it now. But I go to every service. I do all the things, right? That's me showing up. That's me being led by the bit. But am I feeding myself? Am I doing the work? Or am I just a busybody? There is a difference. And again, that comes down to when we strive, when we need to strive, do we look at it as our Christian duties? My service to God, my role as a servant to each other, I have to or I get to. All these things we can get better at if we put in the work. Do we want those things? God would have us strive. God would have us push through. And when we don't, it's just our own self. If I said before, we're responsible for our actions, we're also responsible for our inactions. So this is all I have on this topic tonight. I am very guilty of presenting plenty of problems and short of solutions. There's probably some good solutions out there. If nothing else, I'm just pointing out that these are difficulties. At least they're difficulties for me, and I'm sharing with you my thoughts on them. But it is important that we have the motivation. It is important that we know there are difficulties. Nothing just comes to us. Nothing is just spoon-fed to us. The knowledge, the patience, the meekness, the kindness, that doesn't just come to us. We have to go get it. We have to struggle for it. We have to strive. Not just desire to get into the straight gate, but strive for it. And there is a difference. And that is something we need as servants to work on. Strive and work hard. That's all I have on this tonight. The invitation is always open. The services of the church are always available to those who need them when they need them. If no brother has any other thoughts or comments to add to that, then I'll turn the service back over to the brethren.